What's going on? My name is Will, and I have the honor and the privilege as serving as one of the leaders here at Transformation Church. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has such an incredible word for you today. So let's jump into this amazing message.
Well, look at your neighbor and say, Merry Christmas! Come on. No, you ain't do it like I did. You got to have energy and hold out the Christmas. Merry Christmas! You got to get, come on. Merry Christmas to all the people who are in this room, all that are online. I wish everybody could be here. The presence of God is in this room, but the beautiful thing is the presence of God is everywhere you're at right now. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And today, if you're joining us at Transformation Church for the first time, or you're joining us for your annual Christmas service, or you're joining us consistently in what we're doing, I just want to say welcome. We have prayed for this service and for you. We've been asking God to push back the forces of darkness that would try to keep you stuck in situations that make you feel unworthy to be in the house of God. Because the devil is a lie. There's nobody in here that is perfect enough to come before God. All of us have mess. And today I just wanted to let you know that you're welcome here. And for those who have been searching for something different, and there's a hole in your soul where it feels empty, and you're like, maybe let's try Jesus today. Today I'm excited for you because I believe that by the end of this service, you're gonna have the opportunity to transform your life. And this is the last person I've really been praying for today, is the person who has become numb. I've been praying that the ability to not be sensitive anymore to the thing that God's trying to do in your life, I'm praying for feeling coming back to your soul. That something in you will come alive again. And I just believe that today is the perfect day for you to receive the gift that God gave to you. And so I've prepared a short message to end our series that we've been in. But more than that, I hope it's not just a message. I hope it's an encounter, a collision, a revelation moment for you to realize how madly in love God is with you and how much purpose you still have on this earth. And so today, I gotta follow what the Holy Spirit is telling me. I got a bunch of notes, but these notes really were just to keep me focused this week. I'm about to flow out of my spirit in the message that God has given me. Now, for some of y'all, it's like, he going rogue. No. The message is so in me that I don't want anybody to think that what I'm about to share is because you popped up today and I'm trying to impress you today. The only person I'm trying to impress today is my mama, because she liked me wearing a suit. And I thought Christmas, it's her birthday coming up. Happy birthday, baby. And this will be all 5 minutes after service. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want you to think I'm trying to impress you. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to compel you. I'm trying to make you know that I believe it so much that you'd be like, man, I should at least try it out to see. You know somebody who believes in a establishment so much that they promote it all the time like they work for them? And you can even tell them, like, I don't even want that. I don't even like that. But because of their passion, you'd be like, I'll at least try it. Today, my heart is to convince you, not with intellect. Today, I just want to convince you through the word of God and through what it's done in my life. Who I am today is not who I was. And there are not enough people telling you that what you see is not even a glimmer of what I was when I was disconnected from Jesus. I don't want nothing from you today. I don't need nothing from you today. All I want to do is compel you that there's a better way to live than everything culture is offering you. And it's not a perfect path, but it's a path charted by the perfect one. And so today, I have to finish a series that we've been in for 12 weeks. If this is your first time coming, you got homework. We've been in a series about the fruit of the Spirit for 12 weeks. Why is that important? Because your scriptures mean nothing in the synagogue. Your scriptures mean nothing at this church. Your scriptures are only authenticated in the streets. And most people that claim Christian, you wouldn't know it by how they act in the streets. Okay. You in here today, and this is fine. But for everybody, we're a hot church, humble, open, and transparent. How many people got a few more Christmas gifts to still go get right now? Come on, hands lifted. Half of y'all lying. If you get out in them Christmas streets, oh, them Christmas streets, it's ghetto out there, y'all. I went last night to pick up something unrelated, and I was like, I got to get out of here. These Christmas streets are ghetto. But your faith does not work because you have a bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus. Your faith only actually works when somebody's mad and frustrated, cuts in front of you, and then flips you off. Now who are you? Does what God has put in all year come up? Have you been planted in anything? Have you been connected to the true vine? And if I'm honest with myself, there have been many times in life that I've done the religious thing, but it didn't show up in any fruit. And so today, I want to give you a gift. Today, I want to give you a gift that Jesus has provided for all of us. But I want to give it to you with understanding. And I believe if I give it to you with understanding, it may allow some people in this room to unwrap a gift that's been there the whole time. See, when you get Jesus in your life, you get a bunch of gifts, but a lot of people have left them under the tree, have left them unopened. And today, I need to talk to you about a fruit that I believe all of us could use a little more of. Let's look at Galatians 5:22. This is our anchor scripture for the entire thing, and I promise you want to stick around because at the end we're going to have a very sacred moment. We're going to light candles, and we're going to pray that this be the year that God do something in our world that lights up the entire world around us. And I believe God showed me a prophetic picture that I want us to all participate in. If you're at home, if you have a candle or a lighter, that's what you're gonna use, okay? If not, cell phone. Here we go. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Can you help me say this? Love, help me. Joy, talk, peace, come on. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, when I look at what God provides, we've talked about everyone except one. We have not talked about, did you say it over there? Which one have we not talked about? Peace. And I felt like the Holy Spirit made me hold this one topic, because in the order is love, joy, peace. Third week should have been peace. But I felt like when I looked at the calendar, the Holy Spirit was save peace until the last Sunday before Christmas. And I was like, Lord, why you want me to save peace until then? He said, because they're going to need it. Because it's actually the gift they keep leaving on the table. Because they're thinking about providing for people and not standing, walking, living, resting in peace. How many people in this room under the sound of my voice, let's be honest right now, could use some more peace right now? That's the first time they made noise, all surface. Peace. What would you do to get it? What you doing right now to get it? What do you go to have it? What do we give up for it? I can't answer these questions for you. What do you watch to try to get an illusion of it? Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Who do you lay down with? Oh, y'all gonna be fake with me today? On Christmas? No, for real. How much do you put on? How much will you pay? Everybody say peace.
Peace.
What if I told you that peace was something that God knew we would need? So it came included with our relationship with him. What if I told you that you do not have to sell nothing to get peace? You don't gotta drink nothing to get peace. You ain't gotta smoke nothing to have peace. You don't gotta go nowhere. I need a vacation. You need. I'm not saying nothing wrong with a vacation. How many people can use a vacation right now? I felt the spirit. You don't need another job. Okay, come on. You don't need another spouse. You want to trade them in. This is the 2018 model. I need the 2025 model. You don't need anything else. What you really need to change the quality of your life right now, peace. Somebody say, I need peace. And the crazy thing about it is, if I ask you what you wanted for Christmas, you would say a thing. What you want for Christmas? I mean, seen them new J's? What you want for Christmas? Man, I've been working on my golf swing. I would love a new set of clubs. What you want for Christmas? I saw these shoes. I saw this. I saw that. But if God asks you, what do you want for Christmas? Most of us will automatically go to debt cancellation. Oh, my God. But I know people who cancel other people's debts and don't have peace. I just want to be honest with you. And some of y'all are like, well, let me borrow something and find out. Okay, since you want to do experiments and things. All I'm saying is, maybe what we're putting our hope in is actually not able to provide what we're expecting. A new job don't give you peace. Getting your kids out the house don't give you peace. It'll give you more time. I mean, yeah, you don't have, but it, because the same parents are like, get out of here. It's like, I'm so lonely. Why don't you call every week? I thought you didn't want me here. But now you won't talk to me. It's because many times what's removed from our life exposes what we have the lack of. Okay. And so many times when we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill in the gaps of our life, we go to searching for other things to put in those places. Somebody just say peace for me real quick.
Peace.
I don't want you to forget what we're talking about today, because when I started to look at peace, I started to think that the Christmas season is the antithesis, the opposite of peace for most people. Can we talk about how stressful the Christmas season usually is? Can we talk about, even if it's not stressful for you, the people around you are stressful? Come on, have y'all felt the tension at your workplace and felt the people start, and then people start calling and ask you what you bringing, and it's like, I didn't even know if I'm coming. Why are you telling me what I'm bringing? And don't add kids to it, and don't add bills to it, and then we're not even talking about family drama, generational pains, habits that show up around the holidays. We're not talking about grief. We're not talking about, and God, in his divine wisdom, said, I want to provide my people with something they need all the time. What is it?
Peace.
I'm setting you up. I said, what is it?
Peace.
I'm just asking you right now, would you trade the chaos? I'm just asking you. I can't magically do it, but I know somebody who could change your situation. If there was a possibility that all the stress and the strain and the feelings of tension right now, that you could trade it, would you trade it for peace? You know, it reminds me of a story that just happened over Thanksgiving. One of the most stressful parts of this Christmas for me, and I'm hot, I share. If you come here, you know I'll be telling everybody's business, and I tell everybody around me, if you're around me, part of your life is my life. And if I get on this platform and have nothing to use, guess who's getting used? You. And so, people, I want to be next to Pastor Mike. Okay. So what ends up happening is at Thanksgiving, me and my family started talking about Secret Santa. And I don't know if y'all know what Secret Santa is, but Secret Santa is a game that usually adults play to instead of having to buy gifts for everybody, they get one person, draw a name out of the hat or do something like that, and then you get somebody something and they get you something. Well, you know, we had a dispute in the Todd household about if we wanted to do Secret Santa anymore, because some people have feelings about who they keep getting paired with. Now, I have five brothers, and I'm mentioning no names because Christmas is a few days away. But we sat at the table for hours, and what it boiled down to is people felt some type of way when they a good gift giver and they get paired with the person who's not. And the person who's not usually makes the most noise and is talking about how they did their best and all that. And so it got to the point where we had two family members quit. They're like, I ain't doing it this year. We done. The rest of us was like, forget you. We go do it anyway. And it was just a whole situation. But I begin to think, like, what would make somebody like not want to get a gift at all? Because for a couple years, your gift was bad. You know what I'm saying? At some point, it's all going to even out. Like, you're going to quit. But it made me think about this concept of God giving us a gift. And it was the worst gift exchange ever. I mean, I've had some good gift exchange. Like, it was like, man, I went over the limit. I blessed you. And then the person that I got was like, you was in the spirit. You went over the limit. You blessed me. Those feel good. But I wanted to show my family how a good gift exchange goes today. Who wears a size 12 or 13 in here? Shoes, 12 or 13 shoe. Anybody wear a size 12? Or 13 shoe, hold on. Okay, not 12 or 13. I'm gonna go 10, 10 and a half, because y'all know, who wear a 10 and a half? You wear a 10 and a half, bro? All right, come here, 10 and a half, come here real quick. All right, give me my gift real fast. Okay. Okay, here we go. Come on up here. Come here. He's a twin, I only got one gift, okay. I appreciate that, he can share if he want to. Okay, here we go. What's your name, bro?
Elijah.
Elijah? You got a good smile, Elijah. You strong, dude, boy. All right. Here we go. All right. Would you be willing to give me your shoes right now for what's in this box?
Yeah.
You would? Come on, brother.
Wait.
You got 5 seconds, brother. Okay, come on. Take them on off. All right. Thank you, Mo. Put those in my car. Okay. Open it. Brand new pair, show the people, of baby socks. No, hold them up proud. Hold them up proud. Hold them up proud. Now, some of you would think that's whack. The man just gave you his shoes. But this is the worst exchange ever. I promise you it's not. I promise you that when God sent Jesus, this is cold-blooded, and I feel really bad about what I just did because I'm not giving you your shoes back. Oh, my God, you're walking home today with them pink socks. I'm not giving them his shoes back. But if you see him in the lobby and walking around the mall today with those, you'll be like, Pastor Mike, that's whack. That was a bad gift exchange. But when Jesus was sent to earth by God as a gift, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? It was a gift exchange. Not one of his sons, his only son. Did you bring some other shoes today? Oh, those are your only shoes. I just want you to see how bad it would be if I let him stay like this. Yet, God sent his only son for you and me while we were yet sinners, Romans says. And it was all for a maybe. That's pretty trash to me if it comes to a gift exchange. And what you think is how you feel? Your brother will give you his shoes? You give him it? They just being twins right now. He don't believe that. I would never do that to you, bro. So I already had planned to give you these before. Go ahead. You go ahead and open those and see if those work a little better for you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. There you go. I love you, bro. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Now watch. Hold on. Wait. Everybody clapped when they felt like the gift was worth the exchange. He even left. All I'm trying to say is the only reason people were excited is because at some point you felt it was worth it. At some point it was like, okay, that exchange makes sense. That exchange, okay, he wore them Nike. Oh, them new Nikes. Okay, it made sense. The exchange that God made for all of us will never make sense until you receive it. Okay. So I'm just trying to get you to see that if you need peace, God has made a way through the worst gift exchange ever to give you peace. And he sent his son as a baby so that he could grow up to be a king, so that he could literally live 33 years to die on a cross for every one of my missteps, mistakes, mismanaged moments. And all he required me to do is what that young man did just right there. Receive it. Does not matter how much a gift costs unless you open it. And today, I wonder if we could be ones who open the gift of peace. Okay? Go to John 10:10. So if God gave the gift in John 3:16, he tells us why he gives the gifts in John 10:10. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is saying, I've come that you might have, everybody shout at me, life. And life to the full. What is my life supposed to be full of? Watch this word, fruit. Your life is supposed to be full of fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why is this important? Write this point down for me. The fruit of the Spirit is first developed in you, for you, to flow through you for others. One more time. The fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be first developed in you. Do it in me, God. Let there be peace in me. Let there be joy in me. Let me actually have self-control. Before your self-control comes out of you, it's gotta be in you. It's in you, but guess what? It's for you too. So everything that God gives you and he wants your life full of, which is fruit, he wants it in you because he knows it's the best for you. When you live a life of goodness, it's not just good in you, it's good for you. It creates an atmosphere where everybody loves being around you. When you live a life of peace, that's not just good in you, that's good for you. The Bible says, blessed are the peace. A peacemaker means, watch this, you have to do something for peace to actually be activated. I gotta make it. How many people are making dinners for Christmas? A bunch of us. You can't just look at the refrigerator and have a good meal. Somebody's got to do something to make peace. And God says, any one of my children that have fruit in them and it's coming out of them, he said, those are people that I'll bless, because blessed are the peacemakers. That means you might have to apologize even though it was their offense. I ain't got it like that. Don't got enough of that. I'm probably not even going to talk to them this Christmas. And God said, don't just talk to them. Apologize. God, I want blessings, but I don't know if I want it that bad. Because the truth of the matter is, the only way that you could say I apologize, that this distance between us has caused this friction, and I don't know what it's done to you, but it's made me feel this type of way, and I don't want to live like this anymore. To be able to say that means that the Holy Spirit would have to be working in you. Mike can't say that without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit working in you creates a better life for you. And then God wants it to work through you. Somebody watching you walk in the fruits of the Spirit gives them the audacity to try. When I walk in love, when people talk crazy about me, that makes people be like, oh, I can go talk to Jimmy at the job. If he walking through that, that gives me faith to actually go and do something different. It's for others to see what God's doing in your life. And the sad part about it is there's so many believers, after what Jesus has done, they are not walking in the fruit enough for anybody else to eat off of it. The fruit of the Spirit should be in you, and it's for you first. You take a bite first, but then it is supposed to come from you to others. I should be walking around daily. Who needs love? Who needs joy? Who needs peace? Oh, you need some goodness? And most of us are trying to hoard what we feel like we won't have enough of. But this is why we stay connected to God, because he wants to be the source of everything in our life. And today, I just want to focus on peace for one more second, because the fruit that you need is right here available. But remember, it has to be in you. And it has to, you have to know it's for you. And then God wants to use it through you, and he wants to give it to, watch this, others. So this holiday season, what if this was the last selfish Christmas you had? Hear what I just said to you. I'm not talking about with things. What if this was the last Christmas that you did not give what God has given you all year to everybody you come in contact with? This hit home for me because I had some situations that happened this year that were, they were just wrong, unfair, not okay, fighting territory. You better be glad I'm saved, tight. And the Holy Spirit was like, what you gonna give them this year? Give them. I start stuttering. I sounded like a crackhead. I was out. Give them. I got a lot of things I can give them. And the Holy Spirit, where's all that fruit you was just talking about? Because right now, when the situation not in front of my face, I'm like, give them peace. Give them love. But there's a situation right now that it would be hard for you to show goodness. There would be a situation right now that for some of us, it would be difficult to be able to turn joy in that situation. But today, I'm going to challenge you to no longer look at peace, watch this, as an ethereal thing. Write this point down. Peace is a person. So anytime you say, I need more peace, somebody say, I need peace. Say it like you mean it. I need peace. What you're really saying is, I need Jesus. Did y'all see that simple flip? Peace is a person. I'm sick of this job. I need peace. I'm sick of this job. I need Jesus. I can't stand how I feel right now. I need peace. I can't stand how I feel right now. I need another level of relationship with Jesus. Pastor Mike, how you know? Because Isaiah prophesied it. And we say this at Christmas time all the time, but I don't think we understand the context of what he was saying. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. And I need three types of people to understand that I'm talking directly to you. If you feel like I lost my peace, I need you to know you don't lose your peace, but you can disconnect from it. I need to talk to the second group of people. Say, Pastor Mike, why are you being so serious right now? I need you to hear what changed my life. It's me stop going to money, success, things, escape, to find what is in a person. And I know your religion is trying to cloud it up right now. Listen to me. Jesus cares about the things that are distracting your life from a life of peace. And today he says, don't worry about that for a second. Look at me. Come to me. Give me your life. Actually commit to me. And there's some people in here that aren't just saying, I lost my peace. There's another group of people that are saying, my peace was stolen. That violation stole my peace. That decision stole my peace. And this is what I want you to hear me say. Nothing can steal your peace, but you can give it away. There's one more group of people in here that are asking, is peace still available? And I want to encourage you that peace is one decision away, because peace is a person. So you could flip all of those and say, I lost Jesus. You don't lose Jesus. You disconnect from him. And some of us have lived the whole year separated, close to the power, but nothing going through. Have you ever been trying to do something, click something, make something turn on? And you're like, I'm sick of this thing. I'm sending it back. I paid all this money. And then just to discover, somebody might have accidentally unplugged it. Today, I want to plug you back into peace. Pastor Mike, how are we going to do this? Very simple. Very simple today. I need you to understand this one thing, that having peace is not a subtraction problem. It's an addition problem. Hear what I'm saying. Most people think peace comes when you take something away. If I get rid of this debt, I'll have peace. If I get these kids away, no, come on, y'all, I'll have peace. If I get out of this city, I'll have peace. If I cut these friends off, come on, like, we always think our peace is dependent on what we need to take away. If I could take away these thoughts, I would have peace. I'm trying to give you the cheat code to actually walk in what was given to us by God through Jesus. You can have peace, but it's not coming because things are gone. Peace is only coming because you add him in. Hear what I just said to you. Let me give it to you in a point because some of y'all are trying to figure it out. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the addition of his presence. You want peace in your life? Add God to every situation that feels overwhelming. You want peace in your life in the middle of the argument? Start praying. I promise you that diffuses an argument. Now you're like, you want to bring him into this? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to do. It's hard to do because your flesh wants you to keep raging against what God wants for you. But if you want peace, add him. Don't subtract, add him. Because the truth of the matter is God tells us in this life we will have trouble. If you're looking for a utopia where nothing gets on your nerves, where the way they chew gum is satisfying to you. Because y'all know there are things that can disturb our peace that ain't even practical. Why they wear the shirt like that? Y'all, okay, if I had more time. That's how they still wearing that hairstyle? Disturbed your peace. What? Why are trivial things taking your mind and your heart off of the things that God told you to do? You know why? It's because the truth of the matter is we're out here trying to subtract things that would make our life good, make our life easy, make our life feel better. And God says, I never promised you that. Can I help you understand? Life is never good without Jesus. I'm sorry, because church trying to make you are the good. No. As long as you breathe this air on this planet, you can wake up with everything you think you wanted, and there'll still be a problem. I didn't know when I didn't have money that you got to pay people to help you manage your money. See, they don't want to talk real. So when I didn't have money, I was like, man, when I have money, whew, no more McDoubles. That's when it was 99 cents. No more, I'm going to be able to. And then you walk into a situation where it's like, I got to have another meeting. I got to talk to them. I got to trust somebody new. They want my bank information? Problems are part of this side of heaven. But why would God say we could still have peace if he told us in another scripture that there would be problems? Because his plan was to be with you in the middle of everything that you would call a problem. He said, you're trying to get rid of that, but you won't add me in. What if this Christmas holiday is not about getting rid of the bad situation, the frustrating argument? We'll deal with that. Why don't our main focus be adding God in? Hear what I'm saying to you. You got a situation that won't move? Bring God into it. Peace automatically comes to the situation. Sometimes, not because the situation changes, because your perspective does. Somebody shout at me, peace.
Peace.
I said, shout at me, peace.
Peace.
I began to think, because I knew there were some people that when I came to this part of the sermon would be like, okay, Pastor Mike, you talking about peace and you up there in white and you trying to tell us that we need to have peace in our situations, but you don't know my situation. Well, I begin to break down what makes me feel like I have peace. And it's three things. And y'all help me if this resonates with you. I usually have peace when I know the plan. How many people the plan gives you peace? I know where we going. I know when we gonna get there. I know who gonna be there. Because that might disturb my peace just in knowing that they gonna be there. The plan helps my peace. Watch this one. power helps my peace. Oh, I can decide to change it if I want to. I mean, I know what you said, but I'm in control. I know what the church said, but they don't run nothing over here. Come on, let's be honest. The plan, power, and then this third one, it's real to me. I don't know if it's real to you, but I feel more peace when I have provision. I remember going to Cheddar's and only having $30 in the bank account. And I'm trying to feel extra generous. And I tell them to order a couple appetizers. I'm like, why did I do that? Because I know I would still want to eat the meat and meal. And then they order the shrimp. I'm trying to be nice. And the person comes out and, you know, they asking, what you want to eat? Oh, I'm good with the spinach dip. Because you calculating. You making sure you ask, is it free refills? It's free refills, right? It's free refill. No, I have water. I'm just trying to paint a picture. When you have provision, you won't even care. And it makes you, for some reason, some little piece of you feels like everything's, hey, chill out. Order two. No. Get that too. Get it too. Because somehow the plan, the power, and the provision make you feel peaceful. Could I submit to you that God's place in all of our life should be the one with the plan, the one that provides the provision, and the one who has ultimate power? So could it be that when we feel peace, it's because we're standing in God's spot and not ours? I'm walking you slowly. I know we got a lot of visitors here. I'm just trying to help you understand. Maybe the peace that you are looking for is because you're in the wrong spot in your life. Pastor, what am I supposed to do with that? I'm the man of the house. I got to provide. Remember what I said? When it's time to provide, don't subtract God out of it. Add him in. Proverbs says it like this. Acknowledge God in all of your ways. And he, when you add him in, will direct your paths. God, I think I'm going to start a dog food business. That's dumb. Don't do that. I'm not saying that, I'm giving an example. If some of us started a dog food business, if you would have added him in, he would say, that's dumb. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit will talk to you like that. That's dumb. The entrepreneur spirit is right, but the field is wrong. But some of us have spent 7 years in puppy pow pow. I'm trying to get, roll with me. Wrong career, frustrated, and you found out 3 years in you're allergic to dogs. It is. And you're talking about God. I thought you were going to provide with me. He said you subtracted, you didn't add me in. You asked me to bless something that was already outside of what I wanted to do in your life from the beginning. Don't subtract that. Add me in. You want peace? Put my presence in it. Okay. Here we go. I got to end because I see some of y'all looking at me. Here we go. This is the gift exchange. John 14:27. I leave. This is Jesus talking. The gift of peace with you. I want you to see how direct this is. Jesus says, I'm going to give all my people a gift. And if I could give them anything, I'm going to leave you with the gift of peace. Matter of fact, just so you don't think it's some off-brand peace, some generic peace, some great value peace, I'ma give you my peace. The same peace that I had in the garden when I knew I was getting sold out by one of my friends and I was dropping blood. and I knew I was gonna have to go to the cross. The same peace I had when they called me and told me that my boy was about to die, and his sisters came and said, Lazarus, the one that you love, your friend is about to die. The same peace that allowed me to stay there 3 extra days and let them know that even though you looking at a dead situation, I'm looking at a resurrection. The same peace, the same, somebody say the same peace. The same peace that kept him on the cross. But the same peace that allowed his birth mother and his father. Would you call him a stepfather? I've always wondered this question. Is Joseph a stepfather or a spirit father? We'll talk about it later. But I mean, just think about it. Think about how stressful Jesus is born into a situation that is chaotic. But the only reason a Joseph and a Mary who's impregnated by the Holy Spirit, I just think about the chaos of the moment. Think about her walking around and being like, oh my God, is it Joseph? I mean, think about the cultural time. Think about Joseph. Watch this, staying. Most of us, if this happened today, I'm like, yo, man, I was with Mary. She stepped out on me, bro. Talking about some fool named HG, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, bro, I don't know. No, I know it's Hernandez. I know. I seen them. But having enough sense that God was somewhere in, watch this chaos. This problem was not meant for me to walk away. This problem had peace in the middle of it. I leave the gift of peace to you, my peace. And just in case you was unsure what kind of peace I'm gonna give you, it's not the kind of fragile peace that the world gives. He's making a direct comparison to everything we search for outside of him. It's fragile. It's weak. It's not able to hold you in the middle of a storm. He said, I'm gonna give you the kind of peace that can be sturdy. It's gonna be, watch this, write this word down, perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. Today, I just wanna present to everybody at Christmas, perfect peace. It's not something that will be fragile when storms of life come. It's something that will be powerful in every season of your life. And this is what I wanna ask you. Is what you're calling peace just you not dealing with the situation? Hear me say this to you. Pastor Mike, make us happy today. I'm trying to give you something that you can live with. Today, I want to offer you deliverance, not disassociation. I've been therapized. I've been doing a lot of therapy, praying, worshiping, therapy. Praying, worshiping, therapy. I've been doing it a whole bunch. And one of the terms that I learned was disassociation. I don't know if you know what that is, but a lot of people think they have peace because they disassociate from their real life. So you were abused as a child. You act like you wasn't abused. You don't talk to nobody about abuse. Anytime you see abuse, oh, can't watch that. Mm-mm. Going around a situation doesn't heal you from it. And many of you, your defense mechanism to survive as a child was to disassociate. But now you're an adult, and God has given you tools and weapons to walk in peace. And many of us are still disattaching, and now we're seeing it in our kids. And the thing that you should be able to communicate to them about, that drive for success. You had that too, but you can't tell them what it costs because you won't even deal with it yourself. I'm talking about real stuff right now. There's proclivities and perversions and lusts and addictions that you won't even go towards because you feel like if I touch that, my life will be thrown into chaos. And he said, I'm with you. I'm the prince of peace. Take me in the storm. You know what I do to storms? I sleep through them.
Oh, God.
If you read the word, the disciples are in a storm that watch Jesus sent them into. And he was catching him a drool nap. Yeah. Jesus, we're about to die. He said, y'all ruin that nap for this problem? For this storm? For this care? Peace! Be still. And the storm that was threatening their lives, this tells me that the storm that is threatening your life, that you feel like you'll never get out of, that you feel like you're gonna drown in, the only thing that changed in their situation, and the disciple don't get enough credit for this, because Jesus was a little disturbed, but everybody is when they wake up out of a good nap. But do you see what they did? Instead of leaving him out of the situation, they added him in. Their situation changed when they added Jesus in. Today at Christmas, I'm asking everybody under the sound of my voice, don't do 2025 with him on the sideline. All the religious people that think your education is going to get you to a place that will substitute a relationship with him, he's saying, add me in, and I will be the prince of peace. Pastor Mike, how do I get peace? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why are we going into 21 days of prayer and fasting when we get to the beginning of the year? We're about to do this right here. And the peace, verse 7, woo-wee! When you do all of this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Would you stand all over this place? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. I found out that peace is authenticated in the midst of problems. I have a lighter right here. And this lighter is representing what Jesus did by becoming the light of the world. And he came to my life and he said, Michael, if you'll accept me, I'll set your life to be a light to others. Now, if the lights were to go down just a little bit, what would end up happening? Bring them down even some more. What would end up happening is that in darkness, the thing that would be most evident is the light. Bring it down just a little more. Matter of fact, nobody move because you could get hurt. Go dark for me. Now, the only reason that you can see is because of the little light that's left. What if this is all that we had to live by? What if this is all that Jesus gave to each of us? He gave us a reflection of himself, his peace. And the world will try to blow you out. And God said, but I'm with you. I'll light you back up. Oh no, I think something's happening around the room. I think what's happening around the room is the light that I have. The peace that God gave. It's the peace that I can share with Bishop. And the peace that I can share with Pastor Debbie. And it's the peace that I can share with my father. And it's the peace that I can share with my mother. And it's the peace that I can share with Charles. And the peace that I can share with Abby. And I want you to start sharing the peace that's around you. And if anybody's peace goes out, if anybody's peace has been squandered, I want you to be the one to let your light so shine. That it can be transferred to somebody else. I want you to see that what was once very dark is now beginning to illuminate this entire room. I want you to see that God's plan for all of us is not to live a life that won't light up every room that we walk in. You're that light. This is why Jesus came. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's the worst gift exchange ever. But it is the thing that allows our Heavenly Father to see a reflection of Himself on this earth. Peace on earth. What are you trying to show us, picture? What picture are you trying to show us, Pastor Mike? I'm trying to paint a picture that you'll never forget. That if we let our light go out because we disconnect from Him, others live in darkness. So many people would get damaged in this room trying to get out of here if we blew out our lights. How many family members and loved ones would be affected if we didn't shine? Today, I want you to know that this is what's available for us. The peace that God gives. The love that God gives. The joy that God gives. God, I'm praying for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father God, that the light that you have given us would actually shine. Father, it was by a light that wise men followed the star to actually find out where you were. And the reason that the wise men came was not just to say that they had found the Messiah. They came to worship you with their lives. Today, Father, as we look at this light, we don't have to follow a star. We got the light of the world available to us right now. And Father, for all of us that have been disassociating, trying to keep you out of things today, we are adding you, the Prince of Peace, into this situation. Today we're asking that you would be the God who changes every situation, the God who moves every mountain, the God who allows us to shine, even in a world that is dark. Today we call on the Prince of Peace. Today, God, we're asking that this will be the last time that we have to have the plan, the power, and the provision. Today, it's your light that will be the lamp unto our feet, your words that will be the light unto our path. Today, we decide that we need more peace. But peace is a person. That means we need more of you, Jesus. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would you blow your light out on the outside, but not on the inside? Now, before you move, I don't want you to miss this moment. Turn the lights back out. I want you to see all the way. There's one person, two people, three people, now three people, one person, two people, one person, two people, one person. It's very easy in a dark room to see who's still lit. Everybody that still has a light on, lift it up. One. No, not your cell phone light. Put that down. One, two, three, four. I want to try something. Do you think we could all be lit back up by only four people, five people? Six? I don't know. I know you got to go, but could you just pass that light? Could you just pass it? I just don't want you to miss how important your life is to this scenario. I just want you, it's dangerous out here for families without your light. It's actually a hazard to not just the body of Christ, but to everybody around. If you don't have your light, look how quickly in 30 seconds, oh my God, I feel the presence of God. In 30 seconds, of just a few people walking out of their row. Oh my God. Getting out of their comfort zone. Coming from their place. It's worth me being uncomfortable. What if the pastor didn't have to light everybody up? What if it was the body? What if I want to paint this picture. What if it was okay? We lived in a world where even the man of God, if his light went out, there would be at least 1,000 other people who could come in and restore the light. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was from four rebellious people. Four people who were countercultural. Four people who didn't do what everybody else was doing. All right. It came from four people willing to represent. Uh-oh, my light went out. Uh-uh, Mo, don't you come, because they know that you're going to come. But my sweetheart right here. Hold now, hold on, wait. I need y'all to see, bring the light on me. I know it's dark. Come up a little bit. As she started walking, I need everybody to see what she's doing. She's protecting. She's protecting the light, because she knows she still has steps to make it. She's not even talking, y'all. She barely breathing. Because her light,
yes, sir,
affects my light. What if this is not just another year of Christianity and religion? What if I invited you into becoming what Jesus envisioned when he gave us the gift of Jesus? What God envisioned when he gave us the gift of Jesus? He said, if I give them light, they'll be light. So today, we celebrate the light of the world. Ro, could you say it like this?
Say, light of the world, you stepped out into darkness and opened my eyes, let me see. And beauty that made this heart adore me, hope of my life, spirit.
Say, here I am to worship, say.
Here I am to worship.
That's what the kings did.
Here I am to bow.
That's what the wise men did.
Here I am to say, you're my God.
You're all together.
You're all together, loving, all together, worthy.
You're
all together.
Just one more time, something special has happened. Here I am. Say,
here I am to worship.
You're the light of the world.
Here
yeah.
I am to bow.
And I'll shine for you forever, God.
Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together, love me. All together.
Would you turn the lights up for me?
I'm gonna let it show.
Say, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
In hard situations, you can declare.
I'm gonna let it shine.
In the midst of problems,
yes, sir.
During the shopping season,
I'm gonna let it shine.
When you get with the family members who have caused you grief, you're still,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let the fruit, what God has placed in me, for me, but through me,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let this be a picture of God's goodness. Thank you, Lord. Now do not get burned. We're not paying nobody if you sue us. Blow your candle out. Amen. All the rebellious people, he's gonna do it again. I'm done doing examples, okay? It's on, now it's the smoke of the spirit. Okay, yeah, make it something else. But the truth of the matter is, as we get ready to leave here, that was a beautiful example. Yet your spirit is still dry. So if you want Jesus to actually burn on the inside of you, all I need you to do, everybody listen to me. All I need you to do is receive the gift of Jesus. It's the worst gift exchange ever. But you win because he did it just for you. Them shoes look good on you, boy. Do they fit all right? Yeah, look at him smiling from ear to ear. He got 92 teeth. He like. Because when you receive something you didn't deserve or you didn't earn or you didn't work for, it hits different. Hey, everybody under the sound of my voice, before you start moving, this is the whole reason for Christmas. If you're in this room and you have never accepted Jesus as the light in your personal life, today, I want to give you an opportunity. It's what took me from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography. I had a lot of bad stuff in my heart. It didn't make me perfect, but it showed me the path to peace. And peace is a person. I need the church to begin to pray. Because there are people in here who this is the one time God has orchestrated everything in our life to come to this moment. And he knew you would be here today. And he changed the message and had us order candles. Because he knew it was going to take all of that for you to see. It's time. It's time for you to shine. Let me in. Receive this gift. And if you need to rededicate your life and give your life back to God, and you're making a dedication on our last Sunday here together in this room, you're saying, I'm gonna give God my life. This is the gift you need to give to him. On the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up in the air. I'm gonna pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer, whether you're in this room, online, if you're watching from a prison cell, the Spirit of God is ready to transform your life. One, you're making the greatest decision ever. Two, your name is gonna gonna be written in the Lamb's book of life, and your eternity is gonna be secured. Three, with faith, would you lift your hand in the room? I see you, my sister. I see you, my sister. I see you, my brother. Oh, come on. Whole rows, whole families, I see you. Hey, Transformation Church, let's celebrate. Hey, at TC, we're a family. So proud of y'all. It's a new day for you. God's gonna take everything that the enemy thought he was gonna steal from you. He called you for that example for a reason, bro. He's gonna change your life forever. Today is a day of salvation. If this whole service was just for you, it was worth it. But your twin's sitting there making a decision with you today. Oh, y'all don't know when to celebrate. I'm talking about transformation. This is what God does for us. Everybody lift your hands. We're going to pray together as a family. Father, thank you. I want you to repeat after me. Say, thank you, God, for sending Jesus just for me. I receive the gift of peace. Thank you, Lord, for my life no longer being mine, but it's all yours. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. TC, can we celebrate? At home, we celebrate. In that prison cell, we celebrate. Hey, listen. Now, your life is about to take the best turn it's ever had. If you just made that decision, welcome home. I want you to text SAVED to 8282. And as everybody is starting to get ready for the Christmas holiday and do your thing, I need to tell you two things. One, we will not be in this building next Sunday. Spend it with your family. Turn on TC at 10 at your house. We have a special presentation for you that your whole family is going to enjoy. It's going to be so good, y'all. So gather your people around. Use this as an opportunity to shine your light. Number two, on the first Sunday in January, I am preaching a message called Reset. And I'm telling you, God already shared this with me 2 months ago. You want to start your life and this year in the house of God. This will be the best year of your life if it is your best year spiritually. I'm going to say it one more time. You're going to hear me say it a lot. This will be the best year of your life if it's your best year spiritually. So join us on January 5th as we start in the house of God. Merry Christmas. We love you. May the favor of God go with you. May the peace of God surround you. And until we meet again, go out and live a transformed life. Give God some praise in this building.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Here at Transformation Church, our vision is to represent God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit on our website. Also, be sure to subscribe and check out all the other incredible sermons available. Now, go out and live a transformed life.